Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get seven.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Great to have you back again. Another great win for the Mariners last night. Walk-off style over the Tigers. They've won three in a row, climbing that much closer to 500. They'll try and get there tonight against Detroit and a chance to take a series tonight against the Tigers. This is going to be a quick podcast, but a fun podcast as the Mariners get the victory. We'll also hear from Jim Beattie, former Mariner, coming up in a few minutes as well. But the M's taking on the Tigers. Miranda on the mound for the Mariners, and he really pitched well in this one. Gave up a long ball to the very first batter he faced. Gave up another one to Upton as well. Gave up the leadoff one to Kinsler to start the game, but he really pitched well in this one. Seven innings of four-hit ball. Allowed a couple of runs, a couple of walks, fanned three. And the Mariners able to take the lead in the first inning as Nelson Cruz comes up big in the first.
The pitch to Cruz, swinging a line drive, base hit. Into the gap in left center field. Gamble will score from third. Haniger to third. He's going to be waved in by Manny Acta. Up with the ball, Mikey Matuk. The throw in is cut off by the shortstop, Iglesias. No relay home. Haniger will score as well. The Mariners have a 2-1 lead. Nelly Cruz in at second base with a two-run double. 54 and 55 RBIs on the season for Nelson Cruz. And the Mariners take a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, he just continues to rack up the ribbies. The Mariners on top, 2-1. They would add, Tigers ended up tying it with the solo blast I just referenced a moment ago with Upton. But the Mariners snatched the lead back thanks to the long ball.
The 0-1 pitch, swing, and a well-hit ball. Deep to left field, down the line, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball, into Edgar's Cantina. Taylor Motter with his seventh home run of the season unties this game. It's now the Mariners 3 and the Tigers 2.
Mariners would add another thanks to Ben Gamel going deep. As he just continues what is a ridiculous month of June. Three more hits in the ball game for Ben Gamel. I mean, he's seemingly on base every single time he comes up. 3-for-5 in the game, scores a couple of runs, had a double, a homer. And his June now, 32 hits so far in the month of June. That's the most in Major League Baseball. He's hitting .416 for the month, a .452 on base percentage. He's also mixed in five walks as well, but 32 hits. The next closest is Murphy for Washington, Daniel Murphy with 30. What a month Ben Gamel is having. He's also mixed in 16 runs scored as well, and that's not too shabby for the month either. That's amongst the leaders in the American League. So the giant month for Gamel continues as he swats the home run to dead center field. A 4-2 lead for the Mariners at that point. But it gets late in the ballgame, and the Mariners, a couple of relievers down, Altavilla on, and Altavilla coughs up a couple of runs. So he pitches in and gives up two. So this ball game is tied. Diaz would get through the ninth without giving up a run. So it goes to the 10th. Extra innings. The Mariners get a runner aboard. Tyler Smith comes on to pinch run. A wild pitch moves him onto second base. Kyle Seager at the dish. And Kyle Seager would win the ball game.
Wilson comes set. Checks the runner. And the pitch to Seager. Swing on it, driven to right field. And that will get down. One hop off the fence. Here comes Smith around third. He scores and the Mariners win it. They win it 5-4. Kyle Seager for the game winner here in Seattle.
So there it was, the game winner. The Mariners win it walk-off style 5-4. Now 36-37 on the season. Tigers fall to 32-38. And I've talked about it a lot, is every series, I think, against American League teams, pretty important at this point. Just, you're talking about the full game swings when you're looking at the wild card race, and every team in the American League is in the wild card race. But, you know, starting to bear Detroit. Now they've lost four games in a row. Mariners, meanwhile, have won three in a row. Mariners continue to play so well at home, 22-13 at Safeco Field, and they'll put that on the line tonight. We'll talk about the matchup tonight in a moment. First, let's hear from the skipper after what was another nice win.
Never, there's no script around here. There's no script. Every night's a little bit different. You know, good ball game. It's always good when you come out on the right side of it. But Miranda, starting off with him, outstanding effort. You know, took, you know, the home runs the first couple innings, and then he really settled in. We've seen him do that often here. You know, get all of his pitches working because they were a little shaky early on. But you know, he righted the ship, and getting seven innings out of him tonight was awesome. A really good effort. As that's, you know, they run nine right-handed hitters out there, and they can swing the bat. So. Nice job by him. You know, I thought we had enough. Gamel, another great night there offensively. Yeah, obviously, you know, the mistake that, you know, Altavilla made to J.D. Martinez, you know, it's probably the only bad pitch he threw the whole inning was out there. You know, just up in the zone. Everything else was down. But, you know, our guys responded. They hung in there, didn't get their heads down, kept fighting, and, you know, put some good at-bats together at the end. And big hit by Siegs. You know, gotten a good count against, you know, a really good left-handed pitcher. And, you know, that was the pitch he needed to get on, and he didn't miss it. So, nice win. Hopefully, we can keep the momentum rolling.
Kyle's gotten in some good counts lately. Got a bunch of doubles. Are we starting to see maybe the start of one of his little streaks?
I certainly hope so. You know, when he does get in good counts you know, and get on top of the fastball, some of the balls he's hitting the tar, I've kind of had some topspin on him instead of backspin. And even that ball there, you know, he smoked. But you can't control that. You got to have good at-bats and try to stay consistent about it. And Kyle's kind of, he'll have a couple really good ones, and he'll swing at a ball. You're like, you know, where's he at? So he's still trying to find it. But, you know, we need him to get hot. He's certainly got the capabilities of doing that and carrying a team for a while when he does.
How did you see Miranda kind of find it and get back into that there to get you through seven?
You know, I think he really didn't have great command with his fastball tonight to the glove side. He usually likes to pound right-handed hitters in. And it wasn't getting there tonight, and I thought we made a pretty good adjustment after that to kind of stay with some fastballs away. You start seeing the fly balls go to right field and staying out there with it. And then, you know, found, you know, enough off-speed pitches to keep him off balance. It wasn't his best stuff, but I thought he pitched very well and took advantage of the ballpark, you know, and some of the fly balls to right field and right center tonight.
How you went to Danny?
Yeah, we did. Obviously, we wanted to give Nick Vincent a day. He has been our eighth inning guy for the most part. And, you know, giving Danny an opportunity, that was the right thing to do. Like I said, I thought he threw the ball pretty well. He made one bad mistake to J.D. Martinez. But, you know, Tony Zick's another guy we've used in that spot before. Tony hasn't been feeling great. You know, he was down over in Texas, down yesterday. I was trying to give him some time to get his legs under him unless we absolutely needed him. So, felt good about putting Danny out there, and he did. He punched three guys out. The walk hurt, obviously, to lead off the inning. And then he made a mistake, and you know, against probably their hottest hitter right now. So, again, our guys did not put their heads down, didn't hang their heads. Just, you know, we got to keep fighting. We got to keep getting after it. And, you know, good things happen, and we had some good at-bats late.
Yeah, well, it was down. What was
He wasn't feeling well. He wasn't. Yes, okay, yes. So, no, nothing like that. I was hopefully trying to give him another day, unless we absolutely had to use him. Again, you know, if we would have kept playing in that game, we would have had to use him. So, but the only thing I think about, you know, everybody has to contribute here in that bullpen. It can't be the same guys every night, especially if you put a winning streak together. And, you know, Danny, we need to get Danny going. Thought it was a good spot. The guys, they hadn't seen Danny, that part of the lineup, had never faced him before. And like I said, he threw the ball fine, just made the one mistake.
Gamel showing no signs of letting up here.
What an awesome at bat. You know, foul those pitches off, you know, balls all over the place, and then he gets one in a good spot and squares it up against a pretty good, you know, left-handed pitcher. So can't say enough. You know, it's righty, it's lefty, using the whole parts of the field. And, you know, I'm saying he's got power, and he certainly showed it tonight. He smoked that ball.
So much to love about last night. Already mentioned Gamble with the three hits. Cruz, two hits, drives in a couple of runs. He also walked twice, so he reached four times in the ball game. Seager with the walk-off win. Mater, a couple hits. He contributed. And Miranda, a nice outing, just giving up a couple of runs. And now a chance to take a series. And tonight is going to be a lot of fun at Safeco Field. Mariners winners of three in a row. And if you can believe it, the Mariners have the longest winning streak going in the American League. I mean, that is where the American League is at right now. And we consider the Mariners getting healthy. Segura on the cusp of coming back. Felix Hernandez coming back Friday. Iwakuma not too far down the road after that. All good stuff for the Mariners. Tonight is going to be a lot of fun. If you don't have your tickets yet, it's not too late, because this is going to be a beauty of a matchup in Game 3 of the series. Mariners looking for a series win, but this one is not going to be easy. Justin Verlander for the Tigers, 4-4 with a 4.50 ERA, taking on James Paxton, 5-2 with a 3.23 ERA. Beauty of a matchup, Verlander and Paxton, as the Mariners go for the series tonight. 7:10 first pitch from Safeco Field. We hope to see you there. Oh, why don't we hear from the winner? Kyle Seager, the game winner. Here's what he said after the ball game.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, you know. Obviously, it was a battle all night. You know, it was a good game. You know, both sides. You know, we had our own little runs there, and you know, fortunately, we came out on top.
You had the three doubles in Texas. You had another double tonight. Worked yourself some pretty good counts. I mean, you feeling like you're kind of in a good spot right now?
Yeah, you know, I've been feeling pretty good. You know, sometimes, you know, you feel good and you don't get too many hits, so it's nice. You know, certainly doubles are good, so I like those. And, you know, just try to continue to keep grinding through it.
I feel like you had to do something to keep up with Corey today.
Yeah, there was a little boy in the dugout, and he was, you know, he was giving me updates, and he that's a tough day to match, so I think I'm going to give him the edge today.
How big was it, though, just to kind of come back? It was tough. You know, Dan gives up those runs, but you guys kind of just stayed on it and never really kind of gave in.
Yeah, you know, we did. We have a pretty resilient bunch here. You know, our offense has really, you know, has been swinging the bats pretty good. And, you know, even in that ninth inning, we had some, you know, we had some traffic on the bases. And, you know, they obviously, you know, bringing Wilson is, you know, pretty tough, obviously. So, you know, it's, you know, it's certainly good. You know, big at bat by, you know, Nelly before me. And then, you know, big brace running also by Nelly there to get to second base. That changes things.
I'm surprised when Ben Gamble gets out right now.
It is kind of shocking. So, you know, I don't really like when he does it. So I like the way he's going right now.
Yeah, you watch other hitters. What's he doing right now?
He's got a really, really nice swing. He's in the zone a long time. You know, I really like his move, and you know, he gets on plane. So even when he's, you know, even if he gets beat a little, you know, late or out in front, you know, he's still on plane where he can, you know, dump the ball to left, and you know, he can get the ball down the line. So he's pretty good, and he's really locked in right now.
So Verlander against Paxton tonight. Verlander faced the Mariners earlier this year, April 27th at Comerica Park. Gave up just an unearned run and five hits in seven innings. He was great. A couple of walks and eight strikeouts. Paxton faced the Tigers earlier this year as well, and he pitched really well. That was the day before, April 26th. He went seven scoreless in an 8-0 win. Allowed just four hits, walked one, and fanned nine in the ball game. So this is going to be an excellent matchup. Verlander coming off a start, two earned runs in seven innings against Tampa Bay. Before that, allowed three in Boston and five innings of work. Overall, he's been pretty consistent this year, except for a couple of blowups early in April. Allowed nine earned in four innings against Cleveland, and then allowed six earns a couple of starts ago against the Houston Astros in 5 2/3 innings. Other than that, he's been pretty consistent. He fanned 10 in his first start of the season. And that's who the Mariners will face tonight, Justin Verlander, as they go for the series win at Safeco Field and try and continue that winning streak. Right now, let's dial back to the past and hear from Jim Beatty, former Mariners pitcher.
Former Mariner pitcher Jim Beatty, now a scout and has been for a long time, in the major leagues for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Zelmo, it's great to see you here in Seattle. How's life as a major league scout before we talk about your career in Seattle?
Well, what I do now is, first off, thanks, Rick, for having me. Great to be back in Seattle. And what I do now compared to what I used to do is a little bit of, it's almost like semi-retirement, to be honest with you. It's just, I see a lot of baseball games, see a lot of good players, and send in my reports and let someone with a higher pay grade make decisions.
Well, we had a chance to watch you pitch for a long time. You came up with the New York Yankees. And tell us about the big trade from the Yankees to the Seattle Mariners involving Rupert Jones. And that was way back when. What did you think when you first heard about the deal and you were becoming a Seattle Mariner for the first time?
Well, I had left the season, 79. I had just finished my second season with the Yankees. And at the end of the season, Billy Martin told me that Ron Guidry was going to be the number two starter and I was going to be the number one starter. I was going to be the number two starter. And so I left thinking, well, that's either going to happen or I'm going to be traded. Knowing Billy.
You didn't believe Billy.
Well, I'd had a little bit of run-ins, a few run-ins with Billy. I got the call in November. I still remember I was in, I was at Phillips Academy in the school where my wife was teaching. We were living in a dorm. I answered the phone, got a call from the Yankees. Yankees said I was traded to the Mariners, and at that point I just kind of said, all right, it'll give me a chance to go to a younger team and develop my craft a little bit.
So from 1980 to 1986 in the big leagues with the Seattle Mariners, what do you remember most, your fondest memories about being a Mariner, Zelmo?
Mostly the players and the people you meet, getting an opportunity to play with some of the great players that I had a chance to. The older guys, when I first came over, you know, Glenn Abbott, and some of the younger guys like Rick Honeycutt, who's a pitcher with the Dodgers now, Shane Raleigh, Mike Parrott.
Young Dave Henderson.
And Hendu was there, you know, he was a young guy. And all the younger guys coming up like Hendu, Reynolds, Dave Valley, Spike Owen, who you still run into these guys. And, you know, we just had a lot of fun. And we had Richie Zisk, of course, Wimpy. Tom Pachoric was there. So, I mean, we just had a great crew. Julio Cruz, I mean, you could go on and on and on. And then at the end to get a chance to play with someone like Gaylord Perry and to see what he went through as a professional and selling his peanuts. It was, you know, it was just a terrific time. Seattle was, we were here for, you know, 16, 17 years. My three kids were born here, and it is a part of us, for our family. It's great. And my son lives in Ballard now.
That's outstanding. Gaylord Perry had a big day in the Kingdome in 1982. He won his 300th career game. Is there any one particular game that stands out in the career of Jim Beattie?
Obviously, you know, I had a good day in 78 when I pitched in the in the World Series with the Yankees. With the Mariners, my the one hitter stood out, I think, a lot, and I've got shutouts and complete games. But the one hitter, I you know, I remember pitching in the Kingdome when the fences were close, and it was, you know, it was a challenge to go out there. I know some very good pitchers, guys like Jim Palmer, hated to pitch there, but it was a place for me to really develop what I needed to do to, one, keep the ball in the ballpark, and two, have them hit it at someone.
Who got that one hit off?
UL Washington. It was two outs in the third inning. Ron Renicki was in left field, and two outs, you know, it's kind of a soft sinking line drive. With two outs, you're going to keep it to a single, so you don't want the guy to get in scoring position with two outs. And Ron said, you know, had it been two outs in the bottom of the ninth, I could have dived and probably caught that ball.
Then there was one particular game you matched up with Jack Morris. It was in the notes the other day. It was June the 4th, I think, 1984, a two-hit shutout over the Detroit Tigers. You won 4-0 out dueling Jack Morris. Before the ball game, you saw a movie. Tell us a bit about that.
So we're in Detroit, and I'm with Richie Zisk, and day of the ball game, we went to go see one of the Rocky films. So we're out there. The song, Eye of the Tiger, and that whole kind of theme is, and we're going out to play the Tigers. So I go out there the first couple innings, and I'm dealing a little bit, and I start to get my rhythm. And in between innings, Richie Zisk, we used to call him Zish. So Zish would come in, and he'd come over to me, pat me on the thigh, and say, Zelmo, Eye of the Tiger, baby, Eye of the Tiger. And I ended up having a pretty good ball game.
What do you remember about playing for Rene Latchman?
Well, Latch was good. He was the first time we had a kangaroo court. You know, Latch would do silly things, but they kind of impressed upon me. And that was a coaching, you know, we had Dave Duncan. Dave, for me, Dunk was my best pitching coach. Really helped me to mature as a pitcher and understand how to compete and manage a lineup when you're pitching out there. But Latch just kind of let players play. And if you had the right combination of players, Latch could be a very successful manager. And, you know, he would find us, if you walked three guys or more, and if it was six innings, it had to be two guys or more, he'd find you five. $5. If you got through 9 innings and you walked 2 guys or less, he gave you $5. So I'm out there in a ball game. I'm trying to win. I'm thinking, I got a 3-0 count. I said, I got to come back. I got to save my $5.
That was a lot of money back then, wasn't it?
That's right. And then at the end of the year, you know, we always at the end of the year use that money, and half of it would go to charity. The other half would go to the team party. And at the end of my last year, and as you can see, my hat wearing days have been to the point where they've worn off a little bit of my hair. Latch needed a little bit extra money. He says, all right, Zelma, I'm going to find you $50 for not having enough hair.
You guys had a lot of fun. It was great having you in a Mariners uniform all that time. It was great watching you pitch and now seeing you come to town occasionally as a scout for the Blue Jays. Zelma, thanks a lot for some great memories, reliving those times as a Seattle Mariner here on our Mariners 40th anniversary season.
Well, we had a lot of fun. My family enjoyed Seattle. We love Seattle. It was great for us personally and professionally, and we come back and visit, and we have a lot of great friends here. I'm here, but I'm staying with friends up in Capitol Hill and get together, have a party with all of our friends tonight, which is fun.
Thanks a lot for the visit, buddy.
Thanks, Rick. Always good to talk to you.
See you later!